So, Andrew, if I could start with you, and in the context of your role at the Foreign Office, perhaps you could tell us a little bit about your original hopes and ambitions for the UK Pavilion and what Shanghai and the Expo meant for Britain.
The Foreign Office were somewhat nervous about expos, world expos, and regional expos, having been burnt, as they saw it, several times. And there was quite a long period where the government kept on talking, pretending to itself that it didn't have to go there, and perhaps it wouldn't. That was never an option. It was always clear that it was impossible that we wouldn't be there.
Mark, you were involved from a very early stage in the project, so perhaps I could ask you to just share with us some of your thoughts and recollections of that period of the project, because obviously we had the shortlisting process and the small exhibition at the V&A.
I began to speak to a lot of people about this and about why Britain should participate. A range of people, actually, but including, I think, Jack Straw, who was then Foreign Secretary, and people in the Foreign Office and elsewhere. And, you know, typically they all thought this was a wonderful idea, but nothing happened. And then I convened a meeting at the V&A, and we got together as many designers as we could, and people came also from government. And the idea of that was really to try to make it embarrassing not to have a design competition, because it seemed to me that the critical thing was that the British government should hold a design competition for this. And a bold minister, Digby Jones, took a bold decision with the panel, obviously, and chose Thomas Heatherwick, which was a good choice. I also, of course, lobbied Andrew Kahn incessantly, since I knew he was a very influential man and needed to be lobbied incessantly.
What Mark has just described is absolutely spot on. If Mark hadn't taken a personal interest and gathered together all the forces for good to put pressure on the government, I don't think we would have ended up with a design competition or with Thomas's design.
Thomas, how did you respond to the initial brief?
There was a shortlisting process, and I was aware that we weren't an obvious person to even get into the shortlist. And so there was a sense that there were people doing that selecting who weren't just looking at track record, which I think is typically what you associate with government projects, is that how many expo pavilions have you done before? And the whole point that this was about maybe making a departure from any idea of what a normal expo pavilion was. But the British government brief was fantastic in that it was generic in some senses, in that it said, show that Britain is a good place to go on holiday to, show that the UK has got interesting heritage. But then at the end of the British brief, and the British are known for being such gentlemen and very polite and good, there was a line that just said, and when there's likely to be voting, make sure you're in the top five. It was just this.
But that was the UK Trade and Investment Digby Jones element, because, absolutely, we wanted to set a target. And the target, because expos are about nation branding. At the end of it, it's the nation setting out their wares primarily to the host country and then to international visitors. But in China's case, very primarily to the host country.
I mean, that was the most useful for us. That was that simple little line, make sure you're in the top five, was the most useful part of the brief. We ended up with this funny thing of our point really was that if we were what you expected, it was the most dangerous thing we could do. If you're going to spend that many millions of pounds and you're what people expect, then and you don't get into the list of the ones that people want to see, you've literally wasted all that money. And so the safest thing you could do was do something that stood out. So then, how do you stand out?
Although the pavilion was a tremendous success and we not only came in the top five, you know, we came top, it was Thomas's design what did it. It wasn't the content. So at the end of the day, it was, as Mark said, entirely to do with having a design competition which led to a remarkable and completely different design. And it was that design which remained in people's minds.